imposing your sexual desire on her. If sexual desires arise, fine. Circulate it through your body. Learn to conduct the magnification of desire without needing to throw it off in a spasm of release. A major part of mastering sexuality is learning to sustain greater and greater degrees of pleasure and desire in the body without needing to rid yourself of the force because you can't handle it. When you find yourself really enlivened by a young woman, breathe in her fragrance, breathe in her energy, relax your body and allow your heart to open in her presence. Take in her beauty through every pore in your body. Allow love to radiate from your heart toward her. Maintain a respectful formality so that she is free and empowered to give her gift, without being complicated by your personal agenda. Use the energy she has given you in your own service to others, passing the gift of heightened aliveness and passionate heart into all of your relationships, so that all beings may benefit by the delight you have received from this woman, who, for now, manifests the youthful gifts of uncompromised radiance and life force. Chapter 28. Each woman has a temperature that can heal or irritate you. Some women are hotter, some are cooler. In general, blonde, light-skinned, Japanese, and Chinese women are cooler. Dark-skinned, brunette, red-headed, Korean, and Polynesian women are hotter. Even though a man might choose to remain in a committed intimacy with one woman, his needs for different temperatures of feminine energy may change over time. A hot woman who aroused his passion several years ago may irritate him now. A cooler woman who soothed his heart several years ago may seem tiresome to him now. By understanding how different temperatures of feminine energy may affect him, a man could make more skillful life choices without confusion. You probably have certain tastes in women. You might prefer blondes or Asian women, or perhaps you have a special preference for redheads. Your tastes come from many sources: your early childhood experience, cultural influence, and perhaps even your genetics. But one aspect of taste has to do with how a woman affects you with her energetics. Some women are cooling. Being in their company feels like a cool drink of iced tea on a hot sunny day. You might have referred to a woman, for instance, who is an icy blonde, or who has cool blue eyes. Other women are hot. They are fiery, tempestuous, and quick of temper. You might have spoken of a fiery redhead or a hot-blooded Latina. Of course, not all redheads or Latinas are hot. Not all blondes are cool. Nevertheless, there is something true enough to be said about a woman's temperature. Most men have a good intuitive sense of the difference between a woman who is cool and soothing and a woman who is hot and exciting, regardless of how they describe it. And this difference has a lot to do with why men have different tastes for women and why your taste could change over time. More than simple psychological preference determines your taste. Energy plays a major role. Sometimes you can be with a beautiful woman who just doesn't do it for you. You can see she is beautiful, you can understand why your friends find her attractive, but she just doesn't suit your taste. Different women offer different kinds of feminine energy, and one of the simplest forms of this difference is the difference between hot and cool feminine energy. To help understand this, you could look at your relationship with food. Some men thrive on hot Mexican peppers or spicy Szechuan food, while other men are healed by soothing and cooling food, like salads, sweets, or milk. And any man's need for different kinds of food may change over time. The same is true of his needs for feminine energy. If you are a particularly easygoing man, perhaps a man who has difficulty getting motivated, then a hot woman is probably better for you. Her fiery nature can heat up your system and get you moving. On the other hand, if you tend to be quick-tempered and hot yourself, you might find that a more cooling woman heals you and brings a balance to your whole body and psyche. Depending on your health, your lifestyle, your work demands, and your emotional state, you may need different types of energy at different times. The important thing is to know there is a difference so that you can be conscious of the choice you are making and how it might affect you. You may begin to doubt your current intimate relationship if you don't understand how your needs for feminine energy change. When your life seems dreary and boring, a more spicy and hot woman will probably appeal to you. She will provide you with the fire you are missing. However, when your life is extremely challenging and you feel burnt out, a hot woman might be too much. You may be more attracted to the soothing gaze and touch of a cool woman. Imagine you are married to a hot woman. For years you have enjoyed her passion, been amused by her anger, and been delighted by how quickly she responds sexually. Then your career takes a turn. You begin working with people all day under a tight deadline. You are dealing with people's emotions and resistance 50 hours a week. You notice that you are sweating most of the day. You are under the gun. Your life has become quite hot, as if you are spending the day in a pressure cooker. You go home to your hot wife. She is rubbing herself all over you, eager to get it on. You feel like relaxing. You tell her you need a few minutes to take it easy, so she changes into her workout clothes and goes to the spa to flex and pump her supple body. Meanwhile, her best friend comes to visit. You open the door and invite her in the house. She moves so much more slowly than your wife. Her presence seems soothing and relaxing to you, even though she's not the kind of woman you are usually attracted to. The quality of this woman's voice seems so refreshing. She sees you are tired, and because she's known you for years, she asks if she can rub your shoulders. She puts her hands on your shoulders, and before she begins to gently massage you, you feel waves of cool, rejuvenating energy pour into your body. You sigh with relief. After a brief massage, she says goodbye. She'll come back and visit your wife another day. Your wife comes back home full of energy, and she begins bouncing around the house taking care of things. She yells at you for not telling her friend to stay and wait. Then, seeing your fatigue, she apologizes and begins kissing you passionately. Her hands quickly go to your crotch, but you're still thinking about her friend, remembering how refreshing her energy was, wondering what the heck you are going to do about it. What you should do about it is this. Understand what is happening. You used to really enjoy your wife's spicy temperament, but now that you are boiling all day at work, you need to be balanced by a cooler energy. This doesn't mean you need to end your marriage. It doesn't necessarily mean you need to have sex with her cool friend. What it means is that you need to find a way to balance your life. You can change your diet to a more cooling diet. You can keep your body cooler, wearing caps on sunny days and wearing lighter, more breathable clothing. You can take soothing walks around lakes or along rivers and let the water absorb the heat of your day. Or you can receive cooling energy directly from a woman, even non-sexually. You could get a professional massage, for instance, from a woman with cooling energy. Sometimes, all you need to do is spend a little time in the same room with a cool woman. In any case, it is important to realize that your needs for different kinds of energy will change throughout your life. It's something that you will need to learn how to deal with. It's important that, in the meantime, you don't mistake a changing energy need for a reason to end your marriage. It's also important to know that you can receive energy from different women in entirely non-sexual ways if you so choose. In the end, you must make your own choice. When one man's energy needs change and he finds himself getting the energy he needs from the woman in the office next door, the kind of energy that he isn't getting from his wife, then he might end up having an affair or getting divorced. Another man might communicate his changing energy needs to his wife, then find that she is more able to creatively provide him with the flavor of feminine energy that most heals and rejuvenates him. Don't confuse your energy needs with a commitment in love, though. Energy needs are relatively easy to balance. You can probably get the energy you need from a masseuse or a change in diet. If you react drastically and decide to leave your wife for a woman whose energy enlivens you more, you may be surprised when in a few months your energy needs change again, and you realize that you have made a very superficial choice. You must decide for yourself how to deal with your need for the particular feminine energy that fills your body with life, heals your rough edges, and soothes your warrior spirit. But energetic rejuvenation won't make any fundamental difference unless, at your core, your heart is growing more free, open, and loving. A cool glass of fruit juice, a vacation in Hawaii, or a redhead may temporarily balance your physiology, but only persistent commitment to the practice of love can take you through your fears, through your sense of separateness, and bring you to the absolute ease of being that is your deepest truth. Remember your priority and decide what you need to do. Part 4. What Women Really Want. Chapter 29. Choose a Woman Who Chooses You. If a man wants a woman who doesn't want him, he cannot win. His neediness will undermine any possible relationship, and his woman will never be able to trust him. A man must determine whether a woman really wants him but is playing hard to get, or whether she really doesn't want him. If she doesn't want him, he should immediately cease pursuing her and deal with his pain by himself. If you ever find yourself in a situation where you want to be with a woman, but she doesn't want to be with you, you must speak with your friends. Ask them to be honest with you. Ask them if they think this woman really does want to be with you, or if she really doesn't. If your friends honestly tell you that this woman doesn't want to be with you, it's over. You cannot enjoy a good relationship with her, even if she changes her mind. Once she feels your neediness, once she feels that you need her more than she needs you, she will never trust your masculine core. The priority of the masculine core is mission, purpose, or direction in life. The priority of the feminine core is the flow of love and intimacy. If a woman feels your feminine is stronger than hers, if she feels that the intimacy is more important to you than to her, then she will naturally animate her masculine. She will want space, she will want freedom to pursue her own direction, and she will be repulsed by your clinginess. You are only punishing yourself when you want to be in a relationship with a woman more than she wants to be in a relationship with you. Of course, you must discriminate between whether she is playing hard to get or whether she is genuinely less interested in the relationship than you. This is why you should ask your friends, and even her friends. If it turns out that she really doesn't want to be with you as much as you want to be with her, then it is time to realize the relationship won't work. In such a case, the poles have become reversed, with your feminine desire for love meeting her masculine desire for freedom. This is not viable grounds for intimacy between a man with a masculine essence and a woman with a feminine essence. It is better to move on and work with your hurt than it is to continue demonstrating that your feminine desire is stronger than hers. Chapter 30. What She Wants Is Not What She Says. Sometimes a woman will make a request of her man in plain English, not to get him to do something, but to see if he is so weak that he will do it. In other words, she is testing his capacity to do what is right, not what she is asking for. In such cases, if the man does what his woman asks, she will be disappointed and angry. The man will have no idea why she is so angry or what could possibly please her. He must remember that her trust is engendered not by him fulfilling her requests, but by him magnifying love, consciousness, and success in their lives, in spite of her requests. This is a true story. A somewhat quiet and sensitive man was learning sexual yoga. In this yoga, it is important to learn to bypass ejaculation, circulating the stimulated energy through the body and heart in a kind of whole-body orgasm, rather than losing energy in a spasm of ejaculative release. He was also learning to express his animal-like passion instead of always remaining calm and passive during sex. One day, this man and his wife were driving in their car. Passing a park, they spontaneously decided to stop the car, run into the woods, and make wild love on the grass beneath the trees. Neither of them had even made love outdoors before. Here they were, clawing at each other, growling, shrieking, passionately aggressive with one another. It was a real breakthrough for them. Suddenly, the man realized he would ejaculate unless they slowed down for a few seconds. "Stop moving for a bit," he told his wife. "If we keep going like this, I'm gonna come." But the woman kept moving, even more vigorously. "I want you to come inside of me," she begged. "I want you to fill me with your seed." The man had a split second to decide which way he was going to go, and he decided to let go and give his woman her wish. He ejaculated inside of her and relaxed. But when he looked at his wife's face, she was clearly upset. "What's wrong?" he asked her. "You came," she answered. But you said you wanted me to fill you with my seed, didn't you? Yes, but I said that in order to feel that you were strong enough not to. The man felt depleted and empty. He felt he had failed in his practice of sexual yoga. He knew that ejaculating had not been the right thing to do in the moment, but he had succumbed to his wife's wish. Now she was disappointed. When she said to fill her with his seed, she really wanted to feel that he was strong enough to maintain what he knew was right, and not ejaculate. That would have been much more erotic to her, more polarizing, and more trust-producing than his obedience to her request to ejaculate. Your woman probably tests you in this way all the time. Her ultimate desire is to feel your full consciousness, your trustable integrity, your unshakable love, and your confidence in your mission. Yet she will rarely ask you directly for these things. She would rather try to distract you from your truth, and then feel that she cannot, that you hold fast to your truth while you continue to love her. If you are a weak man, this feminine trait of wanting one thing and asking for another will piss you off. You will wonder, why don't you just tell me what you really want, instead of saying one thing and meaning another, expecting me to figure it out? This is the view of a man who does not understand that women are an incarnation of the divine feminine, and the divine feminine settles for nothing less than the divine masculine. The divine masculine is consciousness. A superior man practices maintaining full consciousness in all situations. If ejaculation results in a decrease in your fullness, a diminution of your presence, a collapse of your consciousness, then you should not ejaculate. Even if your woman says she wants you to, especially when your woman says she wants you to. Your woman will ask you to do all kinds of things, every day. Do not allow yourself to be swayed from your truth, from the direction of your heart. Underneath your woman's superficial request is her actual desire and need. She wants your passionate fullness to pervade her. She wants to be able to trust the unshakability of your loving. She wants to feel in her bones that your divine masculine presence is stronger than your distractibility. Your woman is a form of the goddess, taunting you, testing you, seducing you, ready to chop off your head with her wrath if you are weak and ambiguous in your truth, and ready to surrender to the force of your loving if you are steady and brilliant in your loving consciousness. Know that your woman is always pleased most by your strength in love, freedom, and consciousness. If her requests and desires can sway you from what she knows is your highest goal, she will be angry and disappointed with you, even though she asked for it. Always act to maintain your fullest consciousness. Always apply your sword of discrimination to your woman's requests, never taking them at face value, but always checking with your deepest wisdom and following the road of your highest truth, even if it seems to mean disappointing your woman. She won't be disappointed if she feels you are strong and clear in the true direction of your heart. And if she is disappointed by your deepest truth, you shouldn't be with her. Chapter 31. Her complaint is content-free. Women are always wanting divine masculine presence in a man, regardless of their specific complaint or mood. A man should hear his woman's complaints like warning bells, and then do his best to align his life with his truth and purpose. However, if he believes in the literal content of her complaint, he will immediately go off course, for the content reflects her present mood more than a careful observation of his tendencies over time. Her complaint should be valued as a reminder to get it together, and perhaps as an indication as to how. But more often than not, the specifics of her complaint do not describe the real underlying action or tendency that needs to be changed. Your woman says, "How can you spend so much time in front of the TV when our rent is due in a few days? We're behind on car payments, and you just lost your job." "Don't worry about it. I have a job interview tomorrow." "Well, why don't you get off your butt? You said you were going to clean out the garage weeks ago. I can hardly get to the car." "Okay, okay, I'll clean the garage this afternoon." Your woman stops talking and goes about her business, but you can feel her simmering anger and tension. You don't like to be around her when she's like this. You want to get out of the house. "I'll be back in a few hours and I'll clean the garage," you say as you grab your coat and head for the door. you hear a glass break in the kitchen, so you go in and find your wife furious. "I can't take this anymore," she wails. "What? I said I'd clean the garage. What's going on?" you wonder. "I just can't take it," she cries out, pulling away from you, closing up and not letting you touch her. "I don't get it. I said I'd clean the garage. I have a job interview tomorrow. Everything is going to be fine. What do you want?" You've probably had some version of this conversation with your woman. It holds a key to masculine growth and freedom, and it reveals a common mistake men make with their women. The thing your woman is complaining about is rarely the thing she is complaining about. It is a mistake to believe the content of what she is saying, and then respond to her complaints point by point. When she complains about financial issues, she is usually feeling a lack in your masculine capacity to direct your life with clarity, purpose, integrity, and wisdom. The money itself is secondary. If you are poor but totally conscious, happy, full of integrity, fearless, humorous, loving, and giving your fullest gift to the world and to your woman, she wouldn't complain about lack of money. When you say you will clean the garage and then weeks pass and you haven't, her complaint isn't really about the garage. Sure, she'd like a clean garage, but this is a superficial issue. The deeper issue is that you didn't do what you said you would. You gave her your word, and you didn't follow through. She can't trust what you say, and this hurts her deeply. She might seem to be overreacting to you. Why is she so hysterical? It's only a garage. But she can feel your lack of integrity. Not having cleaned the garage yet seems like a small thing to you, but it shows you don't follow through with your word, with your purpose. Your word is a demonstration of your purpose, of your masculine core. When you don't follow through with what you say you are going to do, she feels that your masculine core is weak. She feels let down. She can't trust your masculine direction, and so she feels a great loss. Over time, she will begin to build up her own masculine protection against your lack of integrity. She will begin to guard herself against the hurt that your lack of carry-through causes. She will harden herself, becoming angular and tense. To you, the garage seems trivial. To her, you have failed at your word. She can't trust you. It's very much as if your woman were to become slovenly. The core of the feminine is energy or radiance. If she stops taking care of herself, if she becomes dull and drab, always tired and worn out, then she is unable to give you the feminine energy you desire in intimacy. You might still love her, but you will begin to look elsewhere for feminine energy. At the level of polarity, you are attracted to and enlivened by her feminine radiance. Likewise, at the level of polarity, she is attracted to and relaxed by your masculine clarity, direction, integrity, and presence. When she complains about you watching TV, it is usually more a complaint about your whole life, your lack of persistence and clarity. If your woman felt you were living totally in your clarity of purpose, if she felt you totally present with her when you chose to be with her, then you said, "I'm going to relax and watch TV for half an hour. It would be fine." It's not the TV watching itself that really bothers her, although that is what she'll talk about. You must listen to your woman more as an oracle than an advisor. She usually is speaking in a very tangential but revelatory style. She is revealing your unconscious habits that prevent your fullest awakening in consciousness. Your unconsciousness causes her pain. She won't say it that way, but that's what she is indicating. Don't argue with her about the garage and the job interview. That's not what she's talking about, even though that's what she's talking about. Hear her complaint as the universe giving you signs about your life. Is watching TV right now the best way to use the moment? Sometimes you need the recreation, but sometimes you are just being lazy, trying to forget the responsibilities you have created in your life. Did you purposely lie to your woman about cleaning the garage? Or did you just let it slide, like you do with so many commitments you make in your life? Can you really blame your woman for being hurt by the lack of integrity that shows in your life? If she can't trust you with living your life from your deepest wisdom and fullest capacity, she can't trust you with her life. She can't trust your masculine impeccability, so she naturally will compensate by overdeveloping her own. She is not only being masculine for herself, now she's being masculine for you. If she's got to remind you of the job interview or the mess in the garage, she's supplying the masculine direction for the both of you. And this results in stress. Her body will begin to show it. She will become less radiant and less relaxed in her feminine power and glory because she has to compensate for your failure. The bags under your woman's eyes and the lines in her face may reveal much about how clearly you are living your highest purpose. Of course, your woman has her own unconscious habits to outgrow, but sometimes she is reflecting yours. Try to do your best to determine which of her problems are actually exquisitely sensitive bodily feedback to the way you are living your life. You know the amount of bullshit you are kidding yourself with. So does she. It just hurts her more than it does you. Chapter 32. She doesn't really want to be number one. A woman sometimes seems she wants to be the most important thing in her man's life. However, if she is the most important thing, then she feels her man has made her the number one priority and is not fully dedicated or directed to divine growth and service. She will feel her man's dependence on her for his happiness, and this will make her feel smothered by his neediness and clinging. A woman really wants her man to be totally dedicated to his highest purpose, and also to love her fully. Although she would never admit it, she wants to feel that her man would be willing to sacrifice their relationship for the sake of his highest purpose. Imagine that a man must go off to war. He hugs his woman goodbye. She is crying. "Please don't go," she begs. "You know that I must," he answers. They look each other deeply in the eyes. "You know that I love you," he says to her. "Yes, I know, and I also know you must go," she replies, and another gush of tears bursts from her heartbroken face. He turns and walks out the door to his necessary destiny, as his woman, full of pain and pride, watches him disappear. This exaggerately dramatic scene captures a profound energetic principle. Although your woman seems to want to be the most important thing in your life, she actually can trust and love you more if she is not. A man's highest purpose is his priority, not his intimacy. Your woman knows this. Deep inside, she really wants it to be this way. The woman in the scene above would actually feel strange if her man suddenly said, "I've changed my mind. You are more important to me than the freedom of mankind. You are the most important thing in my life, and I don't care if my service to humanity is needed elsewhere, so I'm staying here with you." Even though part of her would feel glad, a deeper part of her would feel deflated, emptied, let down. And yet, as her man leaves the door to accomplish his mission, she cries, wishing he didn't have to go. But he does have to go, and she knows it. If a woman has become the point of your life, you are lost. You have a gift to give, a purpose to fulfill, a deep heart impulse that moves you. If you have lost touch with this impulse, then you will begin to feel ambiguous in your life. You will make decisions because you have to, but they won't be guided by a deeper sense of purpose. You may take on your woman's purpose because they are stronger than yours. You may adapt your need for direction to externally regulated purposes, becoming a cogwheel company man or a dead-ended husband and parent, without leaving yourself open to your own greatest vision. Be careful not to substitute default responsibilities for true purpose. It is easy to fill your day with chores and obligations, coming up for air only long enough to watch some TV or have quick sex. It's also easy to give up entirely on living a life of absolute commitment to truth, settling for the common life of absolute commitment to work, family, intimacy, and friends. Yet you can only be a superior professional, father, husband, and friend when you are living these relationships as gifts given from your core, not as what's left over because you don't have the guts to discover your core impulse and live on its basis. If you aren't living from your core, giving your fullest gifts, everyone will feel your lack of true purpose. Your kids will challenge your authority. Your colleagues will take advantage of you. Your friends won't expect much of you, and your wife won't trust you. Even though she may seem to want to be the center of your life, she doesn't. She wants you to know the center of your life, however, so she can trust you. Even if you must go off somewhere without her to fulfill your purpose, like a man going to war, she will be able to trust you and love you, as long as your purpose is real and true. If you are always watching TV, reading magazines, or gambling, your woman will feel your trivialization of life. She will feel you settling for less and will resent the frivolity of your will. But if you have discovered the purpose springing from your deepest core, and if your entire life is aligned by this deep purpose, your woman will feel the truth of your choices. Though she may not always like your choices, she will love them, and she will love you for having the courage to live your truth. She can relax and trust you because even if you are enjoying watching TV, reading magazines, and gambling now and then, she knows that you would never compromise your highest purpose in life, which includes but is not centered nor dependent on your relationship with her. Chapter 33. Your excellent track record is meaningless to her. A man's track record means nothing to the feminine. A man could be perfect for 10 years, but if he's an asshole for 30 seconds, his woman acts like he's always been one. The feminine responds to the moment of energy, forgetting her man's history of past behavior. A man's past behavior is irrelevant to his woman's feeling in the moment. But men base much on another man's history of behavior, so they think their own track record should count for something. But to a woman, it doesn't. It's been a tough and late day at work. You finally come home and your woman is upset. You forgot that you were supposed to have dinner with another couple that night, and the time has passed. Your woman is furious. "I'm sorry I'm late, but this was an unusual day," you say. "I haven't worked late for months, but I had to today." You probably can't even remember the last time I forgot a date together we had planned. I hardly ever forget those kinds of things. Well, you did today, and that's what counts. There is no use trying to mitigate her anger by referring to your great track record. To the feminine, history is irrelevant. What counts is the feeling in the moment. If you let her down now, it doesn't matter that you haven't let her down for months or even years. Your past successes mean nothing to her present feeling of your failure. For you as a man, it is probably easier to forgive and forget an occasional mistake made by another man who has a great track record. What pisses you off is when a man lacks integrity and continually fails at his word. But even big mistakes are fairly easy to let go of when made by a man who is otherwise impeccable. You know he really does the best, and this mistake was a rare exception. But for the feminine, the past is entirely irrelevant. One wrong word in the midst of a 5-hour lovemaking session that was otherwise perfect could collapse your woman as completely as if you had spent 2 hours making mistakes. Instead of getting angry because she's so upset that you made one little mistake in a long series of successes, instantly shift the energy between you. Remember, history is irrelevant to the feminine, so your mistake is as easily forgotten as your successes. As soon as you see she's upset, immediately assume happiness. Shock her with your love. Make her smile and laugh with your humor. Lick her neck or lift her off the ground and pretend you're King Kong. Surprise her in some loving way, and the emotional slate will be wiped clean. Your momentary failure will be effectively vanished, as irrelevant as the long line of your successes. Restore love and happiness in the present moment. Don't justify your little mistake by referring to your long line of successes. Chapter 34. She wants to relax in the demonstration of your direction. A woman must be able to trust you to take charge if she relaxes her own masculine edge. This is true financially, sexually, emotionally, and spiritually. The man doesn't have to actually do all the work, but he must be able to steer the course if his woman is going to relax into her feminine without fear. Some women want to be in charge most of the time. This desire to guide direction, handling the remote control for the TV, or choosing the city in which to live, is a masculine desire in men and women. If your woman has a more masculine sexual essence, she will prefer to be in charge of the direction of your lives most of the time. But if your woman has a feminine sexual essence, there will be times that she would like to pleasurably relax and let go of being in charge. She would like to relax in her feminine and let you make the decisions. If you are not able to take charge, if you don't know the direction you want to go, your woman will feel you floundering. She will have to take charge again, since you are unable. She won't be able to relax. The more relaxed she is in her feminine, the more radiant your woman will be. You have probably noticed that your woman's radiance can change instantly. One moment she might seem dull and weary. Then, perhaps, after you praise her or surprise her with a gift of love, suddenly she is glowing. She looks 15 years younger. The lines in her face have disappeared in seconds. If you want your woman to be able to relax into her feminine and shine her natural radiance, then you must relieve her of the necessity to be in charge. This doesn't mean you need to boss her around. It means you need to know where you are heading and how you are going to get there in every way, including financially and spiritually. If you have the slightest uncertainty or ambiguity about your financial future, your woman will feel it. You don't have to say anything about it. She'll feel your doubt or ambiguity in your body, eyes, and the tone of your voice. It's not that you have to make a lot of money. You just have to be responsible for your finances and take your future into account. You might choose to be a monk. What's important is that you are clear, accountable, and directed from your deepest core of wisdom. Then your woman can relax. She knows where you stand and what your plans are. She can feel your integrity. She can trust your direction because she knows it comes from your deepest core. She is not swimming in the air of your uncertainty, but standing on solid ground, the ground that you've provided by your clarity. Even more important is your spiritual direction. Where is your relationship going? What are your lives about? What does it all add up to? How will the two of you continue to grow without getting stuck in the ruts of mediocrity? If your woman feels that you have lost your spiritual direction, she will seek direction herself and attempt to impose it on you, since you don't seem to have any yourself. If she feels that you are totally absorbed in your work, for instance, and when you're not obsessing about your career, you are absorbed in TV, then she will wonder, is this it? Is this what our relationship amounts to? Is this the highest vision that my man sees? If she feels you lacking in your financial clarity or your spiritual clarity, she will not be able to relax with you. She will automatically begin directing her own life, and probably yours too. She will develop her own masculine direction, since you are lacking, and by doing so, her radiance will diminish. The more ambiguous you seem, financially and spiritually, the more she will need to pour her energy and attention into her own masculine direction and goals. For some women, this is great. They need to develop their own masculine energy. Other women, however, have already developed their masculine. They would like the opportunity to relax their own masculine and receive yours as a gift. How can you tell if your woman's self-direction is healthy for her? If she becomes more and more full and happy as she pursues her direction, then it is good for her. If she becomes more and more stressed, taut, and emotionally angular, then she is animating excess masculine direction. She is pushing herself in ways that may signal your irresponsibility. How can you be more responsible? Not necessarily by doing more work. You become more responsible by knowing your deepest purpose, and then arranging your finances and spiritual life from that knowingness. For your woman to relax in her radiance and feminine happiness, she needs to feel that she can get on your train and that it's going exactly where she wants to go. It doesn't matter if your woman earns more or less money than you, or even if she earns all the money in the relationship. What matters is if she can feel your loving clarity, wisdom, and certainty of direction. As long as she can feel that you are taking the finances into account and arranging your lives together so that the deepest love and fullest gifts can manifest, she will be able to trust your masculine direction and relax in her feminine heart of radiance. Part 5. Your Dark Side. Chapter 35. You are always searching for freedom. The essential masculine ecstasy is in the moment of release from constraint. This could occur when facing death and living through it, succeeding in and thus being released from your purpose, and in competition, which is ritual threat of death. The masculine is always seeking release from constraint into freedom. The feminine doesn't always understand these masculine ways and needs. Your basic motivation is to be released from constraint and experience the freedom from the other side. What are some of the most common forms of masculine ecstasy? Orgasm is one. The typical masculine orgasm, as you probably know, involves a buildup of tension or constraint until the dam finally breaks and your tension and energy are released. The post-orgasmic state is one of death-like peace, an emptiness akin to a blissful oblivion. The masculine is always seeking this release in one way or another. Most sports provide this masculine thrill of release from constraint into freedom. In football, for instance, the team with the ball is constrained by the other team that is lined up in front and ready to block them. The challenge is to break through the line and carry the ball to freedom. People with masculine essences become insanely emotional during this ritual of challenge and release from constraint into freedom. And if the freedom is achieved, men will shout and cheer as if their deepest heart desire has occurred. And it has. This breakthrough into freedom, however it occurs, is the main motive of the masculine. All masculine goals, at work, on the meditation cushion, or on the football field, are directed toward more freedom. The typical masculine desire for freedom involves the feeling of death, which is the ultimate masculine fear in freedom in one way or another. Orgasm is actually called petite mort, or little death in French. You say that you hope your favorite football team kills the other team, and you celebrate your financial killings with great glee. You are probably also familiar with darker aspects of the masculine desire for freedom. War, which is motivated by the desire for freedom, is a quintessential masculine pursuit. Most sports are ritualized war, but actual war itself resonates with the core of most men. Even movies about war, men being at their edge, giving it all they've got, up against death itself, motivated by a higher cause, evoke intense emotion in men. The capacity to face death for the sake of freedom, whether actually in war or ritually on the football field or chessboard, is the ultimate masculine act, evoking men's deepest emotions. The same capacity to face death is necessary for spiritual freedom. To live free in spirit, you must be willing to face your fears and let go of anything that limits your love. The attachment to comfort and security is what limits most men in their capacity to make a spiritual touchdown. The other team is your own need for private security. You are fighting a war with your own self-sense. To be free is to die to your need to be a separate self. What then could be constrained? Ego death. Absolute surrender to the point of oneness is the ultimate freedom. Few men ever release themselves enough to relax in this depth of freedom, because they are afraid of absolutely no stress. No stress means no thoughts, no sense of protected self, no mission to accomplish. The end of the masculine game. Yet, this stress-free, unprotected end of the game is exactly what you are always seeking through orgasm, financial killings, or winning a war. You are willing to experience lesser forms of masculine death and ecstasy, but you are unwilling to face the death of your separate self-sense and finally be the freedom you have only allowed yourself to taste in moments. Men will always enjoy facing forms of death and coming out the other side into freedom, whether in the form of boxing matches, cop movies, martial arts, orgasm, philosophy, the stress-releasing ah of insight, or ego death. You must own the primacy of your desire to be free. Then, you can enjoy the lesser forms of masculine ecstasy, but dedicate yourself to its highest form, transcendence of the fear of death by facing the limiting stress of your own self-sense and relaxing through it into the absolute freedom you have always intuited at your core, but sought through only temporary means. The feminine, on the other hand, is not seeking freedom, but love. A woman's bliss is not in emptiness, but in fullness. Her means is not release, but surrender. This is why a woman is upset when a man begins snoring after orgasm. He has finally achieved, in post-ejaculative emptiness, the blissful freedom from stress he has been seeking all day, one way or another. She, however, is hoping to experience love and fullness through sex, and a snoring man just doesn't do it for her. The feminine seeks fullness and abhors emptiness. she will fill her empty shelves with knickknacks, seashells, and pebbles collected from special places. When she does not feel full of love, she seeks to fill herself with ice cream, chocolate, or conversation, rather than empty her stress through TV or ejaculation, as men often do. Her dark side enjoys the emotional aggression in soap operas and romance novels, rather than the physical aggression of boxing matches and porno movies. She longs to fill her sense of spiritual emptiness by surrendering her heart and being filled with love. Her basic means toward spiritual unity is surrender into the devotional fullness of unbounded love, rather than breaking through the fear of ego death into unconstrained infinity of absolute freedom. In the end, the feminine search for love and the masculine search for freedom reach the same destination, the unbounded and infinite ground of being who you are, which is both absolute love and freedom. But until you finally relax into the place you always are, your woman will continue to surrender to you, chocolate, and shopping in the hope of being filled with love, and you will continue to release yourself through television, orgasm, and financial success in the hope of being emptied of stress into unconstrained freedom. Chapter 36. Own Your Darkest Desires. If a man disowns his dark masculine desire for freedom, then he kinks the hose of his masculine force. His energy will not flow freely, and his attention will be bound by unfulfilled yearnings. Most importantly, if his hose is kinked in this way, he weakens his masculine capacity to stand fearless in the death that is conscious life. He will not be able to face the unknown, the groundless ground of being, and still function from his heart in love. When was the last time you really ravished your woman? That is, when was the last time you really took her, savagely, lovingly, with no inhibition whatsoever? Or has it been so long that you are fascinated and even turned on by rape scenes on TV or in the movies? When you are unable to express your dark passions with love, then they go underground in your psyche. Your dark desires become disconnected from your heart. Instead of being moved to embrace your woman with masculine force and aggressive passion, throwing her down on the bed, ripping off her clothes, and pinning her down beneath your body as you both yield yourselves in ecstatic loving, you begin to fantasize about controlling and dominating women in unloving ways. The desire to ravish is the sexual aspect of the same masculine desire that wants to break through opponents on a basketball court, break through philosophical barriers to intellectual insight, or break through the fear of death into spiritual freedom. The desire to ravish is the desire to break through a woman's resistances to open her heart and body into ecstatic loving. The pleasure in releasing her from all the conventional restraints of her psyche, so she has no choice but to surrender in love. When this masculine desire to ravish becomes disassociated from your heart, then you will settle for breaking through a woman's resistance without love, through violence or coercion. Although few men will readily admit it, most men have entertained fantasies about forcing a woman to have sex against her will. In fact, most women have entertained fantasies of being forced to have sex against their will. The dark feminine desire to be forced to surrender is as strong as the dark masculine desire to penetrate through a woman's resistance. The difference between rape and ravishment is love. Your woman surrendering to receive your strong love, or you lovingly forcing your woman to surrender into greater ecstasy, is the basis of ravishment. When you are unwilling to play these dark masculine and feminine poles in love and humor, then they will appear in loveless ways, such as rape fantasies, obsessions with soap operas, tragic stories of loss and brutality, and violent pornography. Sexual energy is at the root of your bodily force of life, and your relationship to ravishment reveals your relationship to life altogether. This is also true of your woman. If your woman is afraid to surrender completely and receive your loving in all of her parts, she will also be afraid to surrender completely and receive the loving of the divine through and through her. She will feel essentially empty, and so seek to be filled with the love of food, shopping, social events, and conversation. if you are afraid to yield yourself completely in the ecstasy of physical love with your woman, going beyond all sense of control and separate self, so your heart and her heart are one in the midst of absolutely abandoned passion, then you will also be afraid to yield yourself completely in divine freedom. You will grasp onto your sense of self and control instead of yielding through your fear into the boundless, unknowable infinity of existence. You will feel full of your own tension, and so attempt to empty yourself in the conventional masculine habits of TV, ejaculation, and work. You must learn to let go, absolutely in love with your woman. Unless you choose to live your life as a celibate, there is no way around this. You must be as fearless with your sexual desire as you are with your spiritual desire. The essential masculine fear is loss of self, which is also the essential masculine desire. So, if you are like most men, you are willing to lose yourself in controllable ways, like sports, newspapers, and orgasm, but you remain fearful of losing yourself, for real, in love ecstasy with your woman, surrendered in the unknowable infinity beyond mind. As an experiment, the next time you make love with your woman, feel through your own physical and emotional boundaries into her. Feel into her so deeply that you become unaware of yourself and totally aware of her. Feel yourself move into her, your boundaries dissolving so that you become her, utterly aware of her breath, her movements, her emotions. Love her with more abandon than you've ever allowed yourself before. Feel through not only your boundaries, but also her boundaries, so that you are both dissolved in the immense force of your loving. Relax into the force of love so completely that only love remains. Allow this love to ravish your woman to bursting, filling her heart and body beyond capacity, so she has no choice but to surrender to the depth and force of your loving. With a relaxed and spontaneous body, allow your love to penetrate her so deeply that she is overwhelmed to the point of tears as you yield yourself, letting go of all fear, only giving love. In the midst of this self-yielding and giving of love, allow your entire masculine desire to manifest, dark and light. Do and be everything you ever wanted with her, in love, spontaneity, and with deep feeling into her and through her. From time to time, take special care to allow space for her energies and desires to take you to places you would never have gone on your own. By reclaiming the full force of your dark masculine loving, you will not only re-own your capacity to ravish your woman in selfless ecstasy, but you will also re-own your spiritual guts. You will develop the courage to let go of yourself in the face of ego death. You will unkink the hose of your masculine spiritual force by opening to the dark side of your sexual desiring, allowing the force of love itself to draw you beyond the need for control and fearful grasping. You will cultivate your capacity to die into love, with no need to hold on to yourself. Over time, as this force moves through you more freely, you will discover a natural enhanced capacity to yield into spiritual death, or the dissolution of your sense of separate self in the freedom of unboundedness. Rather than gripping onto yourself, you will be able to ease yourself more fully into the consciousness who you truly are. And in doing so, you will recognize the Great One, with no boundaries, who is living you now, and who is not other than you. But to let go of your sense of individuated separate self takes guts, and you won't have them if you don't even have the daring to let go of the sense of separation between you and your woman while making love.